I was frequently invited to the Lichnowskys in order to play the piano there. He was a friendly and distinguished gentleman, and she a very beautiful woman. I still remember clearly both Haydn and Salieri sitting on a sofa on one side of the small music room, both elegantly dressed in the old-fashioned way with bag wigs and silk hose, whereas even here, Beethoven would come dressed in the informal fashion of the other side of the Rhine, really almost ill-dressed. Unquote. Well, thank you, Frau von Bernhard, although you are, without a doubt, a snot. A Viennese talking about a Rhenish is like a Florentine talking about, oh, a Sicilian, a Parisian talking about a French Canadian, a Bostonian talking about a Clevelander, a New Yorker talking about anyone. Look, this is as good a time as any to talk a bit more about Beethoven's appearance and personality. Anton Schindler, Beethoven's assistant later in life, has left us with this description of the mature Beethoven, and I quote, "Beethoven could not have been more than 5 feet 4 inches tall. His body was thick-set with large bones and a strong muscular system. His head was unusually large, covered with long, unkempt hair, giving him a somewhat savage aspect, enhanced even more when his beard had grown to immoderate length, which was quite often the case. His forehead was high and broad. His eyes were brown and small, almost retreating into his head when he laughed. His mouth was well formed." Oh, as an aside, my friends, I think this is early 19th century Eurospeak for "he had most of his teeth." Back to the description. "The lips even, the nose rather broad. With his smile, a most benevolent and amicable air spread across his whole face. This was of special benefit when he conversed with strangers, for it encouraged them. His laughter, on the other hand, often burst out immoderately, distorting the intelligent and strongly marked features. The huge head would swell, the face would become still broader, and the whole effect was not seldom that of a grinning caricature. His chin had a longish cleft in the middle and at both sides, which gave it the shape of a mussel shell and a special peculiarity of its own." Unquote. Beethoven was physically clumsy. Where I grew up, he would have been called a klutz. For example, he was liable to knock over or break anything he touched. He was uncoordinated. He never learned to dance, and he often cut himself while shaving, which is why he frequently let his beard grow and often looked schmutzig or dirty. He had big problems cutting and shaping quill pens for himself and was also incapable of sharpening pencils without breaking them. Thus, his preference for sketching his music with huge, thick-gauge pencils he'd buy from carpentry supply stores. Beethoven was also a slob. In 1809, during the French occupation of Vienna, he was visited by the Baron de Tremont. This is how the good Baron described the decor in Beethoven's bachelor pad, and I quote, "Picture to yourself the darkest, most disorderly place imaginable. Blotches of moisture covered the ceiling, an oldish grand piano on which the dust disputed the place with various pieces of printed and manuscript music. Under the piano, I do not exaggerate, under the piano, an unemptied chamber pot. Beside it, a small walnut table accustomed to the frequent overturning of the inkwell placed on it. A quantity of pens encrusted with ink, then more music. The chairs, mostly cane-seated, were covered with plates bearing the remains of last night's supper and with clothing, etc." And unquote. Well, no GQ or Architectural Digest features on Beethoven's little Viennese pied-à-terre. In short, Beethoven was haughty, sloppy, unafraid, self-centered, supremely individualistic, independent, and disrespectful. Oh, disrespectful. Never was Beethoven's abject inability to deal respectfully with authority more apparent than in his lessons with Haydn, which were the reason he moved to Vienna in the first place. In a word, they were a sham, a waste of time for everybody involved. Beethoven, at 22 years of age, had a chip on his shoulder the size of an old-growth redwood. He had a persecution complex and a pathological dislike of anything or anyone he perceived as an authority figure, a pathology that had nothing to do with the amount of lead in his system, but everything to do with his father and his early upbringing.